You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
2013. That was Tina Cadenow, counterterrorism coordinator. David Sweat and Richard Matt are still on the run. They are the two prisoners who escaped from an upstate New York prison 14 days ago. Major Charles Guest says the manhunt will continue until they are caught.
We're not going anywhere. Our plan is to pursue these men relentlessly and until they are in custody. We will not stop our search and we will not stop chasing leads until we have put Richard Matt and David Sweat back in prison.
And he says new leads are coming in all the time. The prosecution in the Colorado Theater shooting trial is wrapping up its case against James Holmes. Today, the jurors will hear testimony from people who were shot in the 2012 massacre, as well as a former classmate of Holmes. This is USA Headline News.
Welcome to Staples. How can I help you?
Hey, Staples guy, how do I know I'm getting the best price on this laptop?
Staples will match our competitors' prices, even if you find it online.
What about this tablet?
Price match guarantee.
And the smartphone?
Yep.
What about these ink cartridges, my chances of winning the lottery, and toner?
Guaranteed. No way guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Make on budget happen, make best prices happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at your local Columbus Staples, get a 10-ring case of 8.5 by 11 copy paper at the guaranteed everyday low price of only $24.99.
Price valid only on SKU 135848 and only in participating stores in Columbus, Ohio. Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold or shipped by Amazon. See storestaples.com for details.
A U.S. senior Air Force officer says unannounced Russian bomber flights near Europe pose a risk to commercial air safety. Correspondent Kyle McKinnon reports.
There has been a marked increase dating right about to the fighting in Ukraine in the number of Russian bombers approaching European territory, forcing fighter jets to scramble because of the surprise nature of the flights, then being escorted away. Lieutenant General Stephen Wilson of the Air Force says Russian bombers that have approached European airspace as tensions have risen in the last year have not filed flight plans, used their transponders, or communicated with air traffic controllers. Wilson says Russian motives for the repeated forays are unclear and the trend is troubling. Kyle McKinnon, London.
Cincinnati's police chief says an officer who was shot during a gunfight this morning has died, and so has the suspect. Chief Jeffrey Blackwell says Officer Sonny Kim, a 27-year veteran, was wearing body armor when he was fatally wounded as officers responded to a 9/11 call and exchanged gunfire with the suspect. The shooting comes 9 days after Cincinnati police released a plan for dealing with a recent surge in gun violence in the city. A depression that used to be Tropical Storm Bill has dumped up to 7 inches of rain on the Ozarks in southern Missouri. Flash floods forced the evacuation of towns and campgrounds in an area that was already swamped. And the storm caused rocks to fall onto a highway in southern Oklahoma. Interstate 35 on the northbound side is closed indefinitely. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Good afternoon. I'm Pat Smits, and the program It's the Law will start as soon as I tell you about the weather. Frankly, I'm a little surprised that they're saying not very cloudy today, because I've been out and it was very sunny when I got into the, well, at least when I came into the station. But we are expecting there's a 50% chance of showers later this afternoon, and I guess it is late this afternoon. But actually, it's been mostly sunny, and so the earlier forecast of that cloudy and 84 degrees, frankly, it seems like it's warmer than 84. But in any event, light winds, supposedly they're predicting 50% chance of showers, but very little, less than 1/10 of an inch, so that shouldn't be much at all. There's about a 30% chance of showers this evening, 30% chance of thunderstorms tomorrow. Saturday night, there's going to be heavy rain, 80% chance of heavy rain. Again, on Sunday, I guess they've changed the forecast. I thought it was going to be nice, but now they're saying 80% chance of heavy rain on Sunday, which, of course, we know is Father's Day, so that's really unfortunate. Lots of people have picnics. Lots of people want to, do things outside, especially late June when the weather's supposed to be nice. And again, 60% chance of showers on Sunday night. Now, if you can celebrate Father's Day on Monday, it should be mostly sunny and a high of 85 degrees. But that's our forecast, and it's fairly up to date. This is the forecast that we get out of Philadelphia, and our region is still fairly close to Philadelphia, and I don't see any real change, at least at this time. But who knows? Listen to the radio tomorrow or look at the weather tomorrow, and it could be very different. So, what's happening today? Well, I thought I'd bring you some of the latest legal cases that are making the news here in New Jersey. We had a criminal law case that was just published, and this was on June 17th. And it would be important for anyone who is thinking of trying to participate in pretrial intervention, which is known as PTI. Hopefully no one in the audience will ever need to consider applying for PTI, because it means that, people who do it are guilty of a crime and they can get one pass. Now, not on everything. And so this was a very interesting case from a legal standpoint. It's State versus William Roseman and Lori Lewin, and it was actually decided by the New Jersey Supreme Court. And in this case, the court said that the defendants demonstrated extraordinary circumstances to overcome the presumption against pretrial intervention for second-degree offenses. And the court found there was no factual justification for the application of the factors set forth by the prosecutor under the statute. And what the Supreme Court said is that denial of the defendant's applications to pretrial intervention by the prosecutor was plainly a patent and gross abuse of discretion. So this is an interesting case. All the criminal lawyers will, of course, be reading it. But if you're interested at all in the statute, the statute in New Jersey that deals with pretrial intervention is NJSA, that means New Jersey Statute Annotated 2:43-12(e). And in fact, all of the criminal law and other law is certainly in the in the statutes. And it makes sense, but of course it really makes sense in a case like this if you or someone you know is charged with a crime, with a felony, to certainly look into PTI. What this has done, and I've seen over the years, it's really helped a lot of young people who were arrested for some kind of drug offense, and they were able to go into PTI. Now, once you use it, you lose the opportunity to do it again. So there's always a question of somebody who's been in some trouble whether or not they want to use up their PTI. But it has helped countless young adults so that they do not have a criminal record. And anyone who is charged with a crime should obviously look into it. But that is whatever the prosecutor did there, and I did not have an opportunity to read the whole case. So whatever the prosecutor did was certainly a gross abuse of discretion. And the case went all the way up to the New Jersey Supreme Court. There's another civil procedure case that was reported, and this was in the appellate division. And the plaintiffs in this case previously lived in New York, and they asserted claims of wrongful birth, wrongful life, medical malpractice, and negligence in connection with their now deceased daughter's birth. And she was born in 2008 in New York, and then her subsequent diagnosis of Tay-Sachs disease. Now, Tay-Sachs is a genetically inherited and fatal condition. And in this case, the plaintiffs claim that the defendants in the case were Quest Diagnostics, and the plaintiffs, Ginsburg, the named plaintiff was Ginsburg. And so they claim that the defendants, and there were more than one defendant, obviously, each erred in healthcare, genetic testing services, or genetic counseling. And apparently the genetic testing and genetic counseling was provided before the couple conceived their daughter. And they did that upon the mistaken belief that the father was not a Tay-Sachs carrier. And what happened is the trial court ruled that New Jersey law, which differs from New York law in several material respects, applies to all of the parties and claims in the case. And the court said that as a matter of first impression, meaning that this has not been tested in the courts before, but the appellate division held that a court may adopt a defendant-by-defendant approach to choice of law in a tort case such as this one involving conduct and parties that straddle multiple states. And so they applied principles of conflicts of law, and in this case, the appellate division reversed the trial court, and the panel held that New York law applies to claims against defendant laboratory and the third-party defendant, a New York hospital, that tested the father's blood sample in New York. But New Jersey law applies to the claims against the New Jersey healthcare defendants who provided the couple with services in New Jersey. So now this is just a recent published case. And so this talked about choice of laws, and in this case, the court applied both laws in New York and laws in New Jersey. So that what else is happening? Well, if anyone is following the case of U.S. Senator Robert Menendez, he had filed a motion to relocate his corruption trial from Newark to Washington, D.C. The federal judge denied that, but the commentators are saying that is not a major setback for Senator Menendez. In other words, he's just not going to have a problem if he's, well, I guess what people would say is he would not have any advantage in this case to have the case moved to Washington. Now, there is a Fidelity Brokerage Services filed a suit claiming in a suit that they filed in federal court in Trenton that one of its financial advisors who supervised $1 billion in assets took client data with him when he abruptly quit to join Wells Fargo Advisors. So I'm sure that they're, in this case, what they're saying is that there were client data, confidential client data, or he had some kind of employment contract, and that's why they're going after him, because obviously this is a whole lot of assets to take with him. Now, there was another case as far as discrimination. A female basketball referee, her discrimination suit claiming that she is barred from officiating boys' varsity basketball games based on her gender. That case was dismissed by a federal judge, and the federal judge ruled that a school district and basketball officials organization don't amount to employers. So that's how that was bounced, that they're not considered employers. And so that apparently, because they were not employers, she cannot sue under discrimination, the laws against discrimination by employers. The now, there was an interesting case. A court remanded a judicial threat case. And in this case, it was a criminal case against a man who kept the presiding judge's name on an enemies list in his jail cell. And what the court said is he either must be moved out of the vicinage, meaning when we talk about a vicinage here in New Jersey, here in Hunterdon County, our vicinage is Somerset County, Hunterdon County, and Warren County. So, for example, if this man was in Hunterdon County, the case would have to be moved not to either Somerset or Warren, but out of this vicinage totally, or else heard by an out-of-county judge. And that the New Jersey Supreme Court has ruled on that, so that that case was remanded in such a way that the judges in the county or in the vicinage would not be hearing it. It would have to be heard by either a judge that they bring in, and they do that. I mean, there are times where they'll bring a judge from another county into the county, or they'll just simply send the case out. And certainly that happens a lot when judges, there are certain attorneys that don't appear before judges. They may have practiced law with them. There may have been other involvement. And so that, you know, if they were longtime friends, all of their cases are sent to another judge. And certainly I know that happened with Judge Herr when she was sitting here in Hunterdon County. I know I had one, possibly two or three cases that were sent to Warren County. But in this particular situation, because of the threat, they're not going to allow that a judge in any of the vicinage. And if it was a vicinage with two or three counties, they would send it for somewhere else. So, what else is happening? Well, let's see. On June, the case I was just talking about, actually this is a different case. But there was another case on recusal. And it's initials only. This was a family law case, PM versus NP. And this was a decided by the appellate division, and in the case, the plaintiff wife argued that the family part judge, who decided a number of post-judgment motions, erred in denying her application to recuse himself. And the woman claims that the judge's impartiality was tainted when his law clerk engaged in employment discussions and ultimately accepted an offer of employment from the attorney who represents her former husband. And she claimed that defense counsel discussed employment opportunities with the judge's law clerk during the time in which the judge was managing this contentious post-divorce motion practice. And she also alleged that the law clerk is related to the trial judge, and I don't know how, but in some undisclosed degree. And that the judge refused to clarify that, how he was related, despite the wife's attorney repeatedly asking and requesting that be clarified. And so what the appellate court did is they remanded for the judge to address the appellate court's concerns, and their concerns in another case, and then the judge must determine the extent to which his familial relationship with his law clerk created an appearance of impropriety, and that's another case. So there are a number of cases that they refer to, prior cases that basically tell judges when they need to recuse themselves. But this case went up to the appellate division, and now it's getting back and remanded, and the court must determine, first of all, whether or not, the judge has to address concerns that the court raised in another case, which is Comparado versus Scheidt, and that was a case at the New Jersey Supreme Court in 2004. And then there's also the relationship with the law clerk as a case in Redden, and that was was another Supreme Court case in 2015, and also another case Supreme Court decided in 2008. And there's also rules on this. There's a rule 1:12-2 that attorneys certainly take a look at. And of course, there are times, and many times, where a litigant who's not happy with what's happening will in fact complain and say to the judge that he or she wants the judge to recuse himself or herself. And of course, the judges have to be careful, because if they recuse themselves every time somebody was unhappy, they'd be getting tons of applications for recusal every time somebody was unhappy. Well, let's take a break and play some of the nice sponsors' ads, and we'll be back shortly.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is offering chamber members ways to find new customers during this difficult economic environment with the Hunterdon County Chamber Mail Program. The Hunterdon County Chamber Mail Program is a direct mail program which targets new homeowners and renters shortly after they move into the Hunterdon County area. The new resident program offers limited advertising space on a first-come, first-placed program and provides new residents with ongoing access to member ads and promotions through online web links. This ad program is only available to members of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, so act quickly to reserve your space today. For more information on the Hunterdon County Chamber Mail Program, visit www.hunterdon.chambermail.us or contact Hunterdon County Chamber Mail Representative at 1-800-267-3139 or email at adinquiry@chambermail.us.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
You're listening to HuntingChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email on air at hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Hi, we're back. The program, It's the Law. I'm Pat Smits. I'm an attorney here in Hunterdon County. I focus my practice, in fact, limit my practice to various family law matters, divorce, custody, domestic violence. And so what I like to do for the program is, if I don't have a guest, I like to talk about what's happening in the law and give just general information. So one of the things that I often talk about is the fact that we are in need of so many more judges. So I certainly applaud the fact that Governor Christie nominated 14 attorneys to the Superior Court on June 15th. Unfortunately, none of them are in our vicinage. They're in Essex, Passaic, and Union counties. And believe me, we certainly need them all over. I just would be happier if, in fact, there had been somebody nominated here in Hunterdon County, because most of us know, or most of the people in the county, because he's such a popular figure, lived here for so many years, is that Judge Rubin retired, and not that he's left the area or left law, but he certainly left the bench, and we need to fill that vacancy. They're juggling judges throughout the vicinage. Judge Bartlett, who is from Hunterdon County, is sitting in Warren County. We have judges here who actually live in Somerset County that are assigned here. We had Judge Mala here for many, for a few years, and of course he was actually a Middlesex appointment, and although he was statewide, so he could come and sit here. But we just need to, get the judges appointed much faster when we have the retirements. So, but that's good news. And now I think there's one of the things that is going on in the state is that there are more than 100 suits claiming that J&J, their talc-based products, caused ovarian cancer in women, and so that the lawyers for Johnson & Johnson and others, other defendants in the suit, are asking to designate multi-county litigation. So they want to designate one place, one judge to handle all of these suits. And that is done. It's not unusual. It is, in fact, done when there are complex litigation and there are so many suits, rather than, disperse them all over the state. Now, I guess there's good news for a former oil company executor. Executive. He had faced 20 years in prison for bribing a Colombian government official, and he's been sentenced to probation after a co-defendant who testified for the prosecution admitted giving false testimony. So, I mean, that's, obviously pretty serious. I don't know what they're going to be doing with that person, but they should be doing something. Now, I was surprised, and somewhat surprised at this, because an appeals court rejected a New Jersey news agency's bid to obtain official video and other documentation of a fatal police shooting. And in the process, they decreed that such records are not subject to disclosure over the not at all subject to disclosure under the state's Public Records Act. So that is probably contrary to what most of us believed, that these records would, in fact, be available, but not so. Well, I think the other thing that, however, along those lines, is the New Jersey Supreme Court has agreed to hear arguments over whether prosecutors should be allowed to obtain criminal suspects' telephone records without first obtaining a warrant. Now, on the face of it, that just seems to be absolutely you know, kind of unbelievable that they would not need to have a warrant. And the reason for a warrant, except in circumstances that, you know, there are certainly circumstances where the police don't need a warrant, but in most circumstances, the way our system works is they want a judge to take a look at why they're asking for the warrant, and so that someone other than the person who wants to go and search whatever makes a decision whether or not that's reasonable or not. So that the Supreme Court is going to hear arguments over whether or not prosecutors can just obtain telephone records without obtaining a warrant. So they just go out and say, you know, here's a suspect. Not somebody who's been charged, but here's a suspect. So in any event, we'll be back after the short break for the news.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Dylan Roof is making his first court appearance. The 21-year-old admitted to killing nine people at a Charleston, South Carolina church Wednesday night. Judge James Gosnell made remarks at the start of the hearing.
We have victims, nine of them, but we also have victims on the other side. There are victims on this young man's side of the family. Nobody would have ever thrown them into the whirlwind of events that they have been thrown into. We must find it in our heart at some point in time not only to help those that are victims, but to also help his family as well.
He also talked about the strength of the Charleston community. And then he let the victim's family speak. One woman told Roof that she forgave him.
I forgive you. You took something very precious away from me.
The bond was set at $1 million. This is USA Headline News.
Welcome to Staples. How can I help you?
Hey, Staples guy, how do I know I'm getting the best price on this laptop?
Staples will match our competitors' prices, even if you find it online.
What about this tablet?
Price match guarantee.
And the smartphone?
Yep.
What about these ink cartridges? My chances of winning the lottery and toner?
Guaranteed. No way guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Make on budget happen. Make best prices happen. Staples. Make more happen. Now at your local Columbus Staples, get a 10-ream case of 8.5x11 copy paper at the guaranteed everyday low price of only $24.99.
Price valid only in SKU 135848 and only in participating stores in Columbus, Ohio. Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold or shipped by Amazon. See store at staples.com for details.
Bunnies in the garden.
Yeah, rabbits are cute. Squirrels too, till they ruin your garden, feasting on your plants. Get yourself some Ortho Animal Be Gone. Animal Be Gone uses ingredients that little critters are naturally repelled by, but it won't hurt them. And the no stink formula works without smelling horrible. Animal Be Gone from Ortho. We don't hurt them, we just chase them. Guaranteed. Learn more about how Animal Be Gone lives up to its name at ortho.com. Use only as directed.
Hi, I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
Is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed, they're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Ford, New Jersey.
Well, I'm back, and the program, It's the Law, and I'm Pat Smiths, and just talking about some of the things that are in the newspapers, legal news, and some of the cases. And one of the things that I think we should follow up, because I think this is going to be a very interesting case, is that the New Jersey Supreme Court has in fact ruled, and this was on June 11th, that cases of workers injured or killed on the job do not always have to be treated as workers' compensation cases. And those of you who understand the law, there are separate courts, workers' comp courts, and there's a whole bar, meaning attorneys that handle these cases, judges who handle these cases, and it's a separate system. In fact, most of us who don't handle workers' comp cases know very little, if anything, about it. But I will follow up on that and bring the case and talk a little bit about that case, because it certainly would be important for anyone who is injured and the family of anyone who's killed on a job, and to see there'll be an issue then as to which is a better way to handle it and what cases will the courts be handling and what cases will still be handling in the workers' comp process. There's another, apparently two former Hunterdon County High School friends are at odds over a book chronicling their cross-country trip that they took together in 1971. So I don't know anything more about that. That was just a news blurb. So maybe we'll find out a little bit more about that. And not today, I don't think. But in any event, that was not, as far as I know, it's not a published case, so I'll just have to track that down. So what else is happening? Well, there was a New Jersey lawyer who essentially stopped practicing when he fell ill, and he's sued his former firm, claiming that it improperly terminated his partnership and ended his pay and benefits. And, you know, that's one thing that people have to be very cognizant of. One of the things that I talked a little bit about workers' comp and the case that now people might not have to file just through workers' comp, but one of the things that I like to tell people, and I was reminded today when I was asked by a business owner, you know, what would happen if she's injured or, you know, has a problem with respect to her employment. I mean, she's self-employed, obviously, and she owns a business. Well, she is not aware and was not aware of the fact that as a business owner, she, in fact, can get insurance, a workman's comp policy, even if she's the only employee. Now, there's certainly some rules with respect to that, and I think there's a minimum income. So if you're only earning a few dollars, or if you claim a loss every year, you cannot cover yourself under workman's comp. I think it's in the, you know, maybe $30,000 to $40,000 a year you have to be earning in order to cover. But that is something that any business owner should look into. Now, as a business owner, we must cover our employees. However, we do not have to cover ourselves. So the question is, well, why would I pay for insurance if I don't have to? Well, the point is that workers' comp insurance for most jobs is substantially less than trying to buy a private disability policy. And I think all of us who are small business owners and rely on, you know, our income from the business to support ourselves and our families really need to look into this, because people who are working, you know, for companies have other benefits. They have workers' comp. In other words, if they need to, they have workers' comp. Many of them have sick leave and other benefits that those of us who are working for ourselves just don't have. And so we need to be more careful. And certainly workman's comp insurance is something that I can't imagine why any self-employed person who qualifies would not pay for that insurance, because it's just the risk of being out of business, being sick, something happening. And the other thing that came to mind, because even though I'm a family lawyer, I get a lot of questions. And frankly, what I do, when people call me about questions and I don't handle that area of law, I make sure that they talk to somebody who really does know. And in this case, in fact, I was able to refer to one of our chamber members who handles insurance. And that's what I did, because he will be certainly able to tell this business owner what her options are, whether or not she can get workman's comp, and if she earns enough money, she'll be able to. And also, I had another question as far as business interruption insurance. And I, again, anyone who has a business, a store, a storefront, I'm sorry, not just a storefront, a store, a physical location where your customers come to you, you have to think very seriously about business interruption insurance and how long you could be out of business for, you know, to not have a real impact. In other words, many of us, we could easily move our offices or business interruption. However, could be, even if we can move our offices, you know, what happens if the electricity is off for 2 weeks? What happens if we have no phone service? We can't have phones, internets. Many people really had interruptions of their business when Sandy, Hurricane Sandy. And I'm not talking just about the people down at the shore. So these things are really important, and I know that you know, someone with struggling with a business is probably trying to save every penny. However, you also have to look at the possible risks and what would happen if you're self-employed and don't have insurance and, you know, for some reason are not able to work, or there's an interruption of your business, you know, fire. You know, today, for example, I had to go to Pottersville. And if anybody's been going up towards Pottersville, when you, that Black River Road, it's closed. So if you happen to have a business on that road, and there aren't, I mean, there, you know, you can get into Pottersville, but I'm sure that's going to affect whenever a road is closed or a bridge is down, that can certainly affect the businesses. And, you know, we often hear businesses that are going out of business just because they, you know, roads were closed, bridges were down, people really just couldn't get to their store, and their business dropped off so significantly that they couldn't maintain it. So in any event, that's just a little aside, but I think that workers' comp and the case, you know, that we now, with the Supreme Court decision, I think anybody should certainly look into it. Now, the there was a case, actually, it was the Township of Montclair, and this was applying the statutory standards set forth in municipal land use law and the local government ethics law, as well as established common law. Said when a church or other organization owns property within 200 feet of a site that is the subject to a zoning application, public officials who currently serve in substantive leadership positions in the organization or who will imminently assume such positions are disqualified from voting on the application. Well, that obviously makes a lot of sense, because although they may not own the property, they certainly might have a conflict. They certainly have an interest that perhaps would lead them to vote against an application. So again, these things are very important. It's hard sometimes to figure out, especially in, you know, small towns in Hunterdon County, who is in fact going to be disqualified from voting on an application. But that case, Richard Grabowski versus Township of Montclair, this was a Supreme Court decision, so it should certainly give guidance to anyone sitting on that kind of a board who might be voting for certain applications. And one would hope that they would, in fact, not have to have someone file litigation, because remember, this litigation has gone all the way up to the Supreme Court, so that it's a significant cost involved. And whatever, you know, happened, obviously the Supreme Court said you can't do it. So I hope that people sitting on boards will look at these things, because it's really unfair to have to spend that kind of money to go up to file appeals from certain denials. So there's there's another case on family law, and again, we just have to be careful with our children, because there was a finding that this woman neglected her daughter, and she was 2 years old at the time, and she was found on the front porch outside their residence at 2:30 in the morning, wearing short sleeve pajamas in 42 degree weather. Now, the police found the mother and another child asleep inside. And so the issue here was it a proper finding of neglect? And in this case, the appellate court reversed, saying that the mother's failure to secure a chain lock on the front door did not rise to the level of neglect, and it was not a reckless act, and was not indicative of grossly or negligent conduct. And the appellate court also found that the trial court went wide of the mark. I thought that was an interesting phrase. It's mine, but it's still wide of the mark in assessing the evidence, since the child's statement, even if believed, did not establish negligence, and the measurements taken by the caseworker in an effort to determine this little girl's ability to open the door herself were relied on by the court, and they were plainly inaccurate. So in other words, I guess somebody was trying to say that somehow the mother put her outside, or, you know, because the issue was whether or not she had the ability to open the door herself. And whether someone testified about that, the problem was that the judge relied on that testimony. And so the appellate division found that even if the little girl was tall enough to open the door, you know, that the fact that a 2-year-old child discovered somehow to open the door and unexpectedly did so in the middle of the night did not justify a finding that her mother was grossly negligent. So I guess what they were trying to prove is if this child was tall enough to open the door, and the mother did not have some kind of a deadbolt or chain, that she was grossly negligent. And so the appellate division remanded the case for an entry of an order vacating the finding of abuse or neglect, and directing, and this was the real important thing, is directing that the mother's name be removed from the central registry. Because believe me, if someone is a finding of abuse or neglect, that stays on the person's record forever. And when I read this case, my concern, it's not a published case, but, you know, my concern was, oh my, how many of us could possibly have been accused of abuse and neglect, you know, because kids can open, I mean, most of us know that kids can open doors, they can get out, you know, parents are sleeping, and, you know, this was, you know, I think most people would say didn't rise to the level of gross negligence, and to be hauled into court and to be accused of abuse or neglect based on a child getting out of the house at night, I guess... maybe someone out there can justify that, but I certainly know that there are a lot of youngsters. I'm almost smiling here because I remember a friend whose young child, not only did he get out, but he got up on the roof, and, you know, maybe he was 4,
but that still is a situation where, you know, she thought he was in bed and he was up on the roof and didn't know it until the fire company or somebody came and let her know that, you know, her four-year-old, and, you know, maybe it's three or five. It's, you know, not a story that I remember precisely, but all I'm saying is we have to be careful, obviously, with our children, and that's not appropriate. And thank goodness the police were, you know, either called or saw this child. And thank goodness she didn't go out on the street. But the issue is whether or not you haul someone into court and not only accuse them, but find them guilty of, you know, that type of grossly or wantonly negligent conduct. Because that's the standard. And so it can't be just you, you know, forgot to do something and it was inadvertent. It has to be gross negligence or wanton conduct. And believe me, there's a lot there. I mean, I'm not at all chastising the workers. I mean, they're involved in really serious, you know, terribly unfortunate cases. But this isn't a case where, you know, a child's hand was held underwater, hot water, and they were scalded or burned with cigarettes, or, you know, could it well be, and I don't know the specifics on this case, but, you know, it could be that the woman was, you know, living in, well, whatever. I mean, I can almost assure you, and I think I'll go back and read the case, because I can almost assure you that this was not, you know, some middle-class mom living in the suburbs. It was most likely someone poor living in the inner city, and because those are the cases that so often are handled in such a way. If it had been, you know, one of the local police departments, you know, they would have knocked on the door, and everybody would have been embarrassed, but the two-year-old would be back in bed. Not taken, and in this case, I don't know whether the child was taken, but could have been taken and put into foster care for some period of time. And that's usually not what happens, because the idea is that you want to keep children with their families, unless there is that kind of gross negligence. Now, there was a medical malpractice case that had to deal with expert witnesses, and it was not reported. But in that case, there was a judge, a trial judge decision barring the report of a new nursing expert and the then dismissal of two nurse defendants. And the argument was that the report was submitted before the often extended discovery end date, and the order extending the discovery end date did not limit discovery to conducting expert depositions. And appellate division found that even if the report was not permitted under that particular order, the court failed to apply the correct standard in deciding whether to extend discovery, and that any errors in service of the report were purely procedural, and any harm to the defendants could be rectified with an extension of the discovery period for the benefit of the defendants. And they also failed that there was a plaintiff's failed to comply with a certain court rule by not providing the court with a proposed order identifying the discovery to be had to be completed and a schedule for same, and so that their motion for an extension of discovery did not mention the extension was necessary for purpose of naming a new expert. So what I'm telling you this, and why I'm telling you this, is that there are lots of procedural issues that have to be handled. And discovery means information from the other side that has to be produced. Sometimes it's outrageous, the demands. But there are lots of procedural things, and sometimes it's hard to understand why a case turns out the way it turns out, because at least from a layperson's perspective, it doesn't seem to be right. And, you know, procedurally, most judges are very good procedurally, at not creating the kinds of problems or dismissing cases out of hand. And most, at least cases in the family law, most of the judges really bend over backwards to allow people to do what they need to do to present their case. So, in any event, I think we're pretty much at the end of the show, and so I'm going to play a couple things from our sponsors, and then go to the news, and we'll be back with the sports guys.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, hunterdonchamber.org, for more information today.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, Financial Advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Dylan Roof is making his first court appearance. The 21-year-old admitted to killing 9 people at a Charleston, South Carolina church Wednesday night. Judge James Gosnell made remarks at the start of the hearing.
We have victims, 9 of them, but we also have victims on the other side. There are victims on this young man's side of the family. Nobody would have ever thrown them into the whirlwind of events that they have been thrown into. We must find it in our heart at some point in time not only to help those that are victims, but to also help his family as well.
He also talked about the strength of the Charleston community. And then he let the victim's family speak. One woman told Roof that she forgave him.
I forgive you. You took something very precious away from me.
The bond was set at $1 million. This is USA Headline News.
Your local pharmacist is also a HealthMart pharmacist. And they're not like other pharmacists.
After Mom's surgery, I was overwhelmed. But I was so relieved. Her HealthMart pharmacist was there to help. They explained her medication and even delivered to her house. Mom got the personal service she needed, and I got something even better. Peace of mind.
Visit HealthMart.com to find a locally owned HealthMart pharmacy near you. HealthMart, caring for you and about you.
Everyone knows the proper way to start your day is with a long, hot, luxurious shower. That's why we've created ProperSoap.com. We're called Proper because we're properly pure and natural, with no parabens, dyes, or harsh chemicals. 100% pure vegetable soap. We use rich shea butter and olive oil to moisturize naturally. And best of all, we think it's proper to give back. So when you shop ProperSoap.com, you're funding clean water and sanitation programs in villages across the globe. Shop ProperSoap.com and get proper.
In the aftermath of yesterday's deadly shooting, many of the presidential contenders are speaking out. Democrat Hillary Clinton says gun violence needs to be addressed.
In the days ahead, we will once again ask
what led to this terrible tragedy and where we as a nation need to go.
And New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.